You are listening to Around It About Chattanooga. In this segment, we're talking about knee pain, knee osteoarthritis, and similar joint pain, particularly if you're an older athlete. Questions like, when is it time to consider a knee replacement? What are some of the other alternative treatments for treating chronic knee and joint pain? Dr. Danielle Mitchell joins us from the Chattanooga Sports Institute and Center for Health. Dr. Mitchell, welcome back to Around It About.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me back.
What are some of the reasons that people start having it? Because I imagine some people just think, well, this is a normal part of aging. It hurts to walk now, but hey, that's just life.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. Whenever I have patients that come to me who have knee pain, you know, one of the questions I think they ask in their mind is, when should I see a doctor about it? Which is a really common question. And that kind of depends on the circumstances of pain. I think oftentimes people will have two things that will basically put them into a category of like when I need to see the doctor. And the first is like it's been going on for a long time and it's getting worse. And that's usually a sign to most people, okay, I need to go in and have this looked at. And then the second one is just a very like acute instance of like high quality, high sharp pain. They're like, I cannot deal with this. It's disrupting my function.
People
so
who
much.
Actually can't walk at that point.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Or with significant burden and just doing their activities of daily living. So oftentimes those are the two things that get people into my office to be seen for, you know, knee pain.
And knee replacements, that's, I think, pretty common these days and other kind of knee surgeries. But I mean, is that it for somebody who isn't ready for something quite that drastic yet? What can they do?
No, not at all. And so this is the nice thing, you know, as an intermediary between both family medicine and the surgical aspect of orthopedic medicine, I basically help let people know about their alternatives to surgery at that point if surgery is not warranted. So it's a tremendous fear when you say the S word, surgery, like, whoa, okay, and you're talking about actually cutting a piece of my bone out, and it's really frightening for people. And so that a lot of times will keep them away from having the knee pain treated at all, mm-hmm. when in fact there are a lot of alternatives out there. So when somebody comes to me for knee pain, you know, I go through my exam with staff and then I obtain x-rays a lot of time to look at the bone quality and image. And I'll see, you know, mild to all the way up to severe osteoarthritis.
You can literally see it.
Oh, yes. On an imaging x-ray, and it depends on what stage it's in, but there are subtle signs on x-rays that you can look at. For instance, when we look at the quality and the image projection from an x-ray, bone will show up very well. And you have to think about arthritis in terms of it's a wearing away of cartilage that leads to bone on bone, which is a very painful process for people to go through as it starts. So as you look at the x-ray, You don't see cartilage on x-rays. Soft tissue does not show up very well, but you'll see bony changes. And you can also see those areas where cartilage are. It looks almost like empty space, but the trained eye knows that's not empty space. There's cartilage there. And so you'll see the relationship where that cartilage occupies that space. As cartilage gets worn down, that space between bones, which is the joint, becomes less and less wide. So it gets smaller over time. And then we'll see things like osteophytes, which are bone spurs. We'll see some other things like bone cyst formation. So these are all signs to us like, okay, you know, we've got an arthritic process going on here. So those images really do help. Also, you know, not just relying on the images, but what is the patient's background and history? So if I've got a patient, you know, it's fair to say as we start getting up there, you know, people as early as you know, in their late 30s, I'll commonly start to see signs of osteoarthritis. I'll even see it earlier than that, and that might not be osteoarthritis, but a different type of arthritis that exists, and there's several of them. But listening to what your patient's history and background is, and also really looking at a thorough exam, are really going to be the things that help guide you into saying, is this osteoarthritis? So when we get to that diagnosis, I like to sit down with my patients and I actually show them their x-rays and show them the findings that I'm looking at. And then it starts to educate them about, okay, I kind of see what's going on here. And then depending on how severe that that arthritis is, then we can make decisions about, okay, is this severe enough that we need to just go straight to surgery? Or are there other alternatives that we can try to buy people time? And so some of those alternatives are things like we can try doing steroid injections into the joint space, Even before that, if people haven't tried courses of anti-inflammatory medicines or supplements, that's an alternative route. So things, you know, like ibuprofen, you know, naproxen, looking at herbal supplementation, like using tart cherry or turmeric, glucosamine. These are all things that are aimed and targeted at trying to, in some way, whether a minor way or a major way, impact that inflammatory process that comes along with osteoarthritis. Moving up from the supplement category, we kind of move into what I call sharp object category, which is usually, you know, doing an injection of either a steroid component, again, to calm down that inflammation, or looking at doing what's called viscosupplementation, which is basically injecting the component of cartilage that's found in rooster combs. Don't ask me how.
Okay.
I know. Wow. I don't know whose job it was to figure out, okay, let's just chop the comb off this rooster and grind it up. But we have discovered that there's an element in that rooster comb, a cartilage element, that some people's knees really react and respond well to for arthritis. And so we can do a series of those injections. The other thing, and then going up from there, of course, the next standard treatment would typically be knee replacement if somebody's in a severe category and they failed conservative treatment. The other part of that equation, of course, is healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, so, if I'm not older yet, but I'm saying, you know, I run a lot or I exercise a lot, I can definitely see this being a problem for me down the road. What can I do right now to prevent it?
Well, that's a great question. So a lot of people think, well, if I get out there and run, I'm going to give myself arthritis.
Yeah.
I hear this a lot. Like, you long distance runners, you're going to trash your knees. There's not a single study out there to show that running actually destroys knee cartilage or basically produces osteoarthritis. There's not a study out there to show that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think there are some other things that contribute and have been not necessarily causation factors, but there are links. We certainly know that obesity, for example, we see a large amount of osteoarthritic knees in our obese population, and we don't know why, but it could be, and the presumption is because it's excessive force and load over such a long period of time that may wear down the joint. But that also is a very confusing statement to go back and say, well, how does running not do that?
Yeah.
But I think it's over, and this is anecdotal, but my opinion on it is I think that running over those long distances is still not equated to somebody who is carrying extra weight day in and day out every single minute of the day.
Yeah.
So I think it's a difference in terms of the force factors exerted on the joint. But looking at that and trying to prevent, you know, having that outcome, unfortunately, I think genetics do play a large part in this. And so just trying to figure out that link. And if it's genetics...
Right.
We can't escape that, unfortunately.
So mom and dad.
Thanks a lot. But there's other things, too, you know, in terms of just, again, looking at healthy lifestyle. I actually find that the people that I see in my practice, and I see both people who are self-proclaimed athletes, and then I see the people who I'm helping to bring out that inner athlete in. I find that in people who have been lifelong athletes, they have some of the best knees and joints out there. I think eating healthy as well certainly plays into it. When we're looking at the breakdown of tissue, it's a complicated process, but through just our daily activities, we generate lots of chemicals that are not healthy for tissues. It's a byproduct of metabolism. But there are certain things from a nutritional standpoint that we can include in our diet and, more importantly, I think, exclude from our diet that can help reduce some of these pro-inflammatory factors that I think are a big part of these processes. So I think healthy nutrition is really a part of it. Healthy weight maintenance, certainly activity, I think plays a large part of it. And then, you know, just like I said, looking at that genetic component, if there is something that we could identify with it eventually, that may be something that pans out too.
Dr. Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us. What is your website again?
The website for my practice is www.chattanoogasportsinstitute.com, and we can be found on Facebook either under my name, Danielle Mitchell, or I have a direct link to my Facebook page through that, and you can certainly give us an email at chattanooga_sports_institute@yahoo.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.